Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. Today, we have a special guest. We have Pat Quinn. Pat is one of the nation's premier presentation coaches. He has worked with Olympians, New York Times bestselling authors, world-class business leaders, pastors, and professional speakers over the last 20 years. As a former professional magician, Pat Quinn learned the art of commanding a stage early in his career. As a professional consultant and speaker, he has keynoted the biggest conferences and spoken to the audiences around the world. Pat Quinn's highly acclaimed signature talk workshops are a unique opportunity to create the perfect presentation and take your speaking skills to the next level. All right, Pat, I've got a ton of questions for you today, so we'll see how fast I can cram them in. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
So why don't you tell us the backstory? How did you become a professional speaking coach, consultant? How'd you get here?
Well, I didn't actually start as a professional speaker. I started as a professional magician, worked magic for 10 years. After that, I realized that I needed to get a real job. So I became a public school teacher and taught high school math for 12 years. During that time, I picked up an advanced degree in how adults learn. And so I really bring two things to the table. The first is a little bit of stagecraft from my years of doing magic. And the second is a real understanding of how an audience hears your presentation. I'm hyper-focused on your audience. And I'm hyper-focused on your audience because I actually only have one measuring stick of success. My goal is not that you would get a standing ovation, although many of the people I work with do get standing ovations. My goal is not that people would email you after your presentation and say, wow, you're an amazing speaker. Although some of the people that I work with hear that. My goal is that the audience would want to do business with you after your presentation. That's my goal. I've been fortunate over the last 10 years to work with some of the best speakers in the world. We work with Damon John and from Shark Tank and Michael Hyatt and Grant Cardone. But most of the people that I work with are not professional speakers. Most of the people that I work with would not even consider themselves speakers. Most of the people that I work with are business owners who want to grow their business and attract new clients. And I believe that speaking is one of the most predictable, cost-effective, and easy ways to do that. And so we help people communicate from speaking on stage back when there were live events to speaking on webinars and podcasts to one-on-one communication on your sales phone calls and your meetings at Starbucks.
That's before we get into all the details of your signature system, which I want to get into, tell me what, with regards to teaching students and being a magician, what has translated into actually teaching people how to speak better? Is anything translated directly over to help you?
Everything translates. So the key to being a great magician, and if you study the greats like David Copperfield, you're controlling the attention of the audience where you want the attention of the audience to be. The problem with most speakers is they're not paying attention to the audience and what the audience is paying attention to. My first piece of advice for anybody who speaks live or speaks on Zoom is to record the audience. Everybody has the camera on themselves and they think, oh, I got great video of myself on stage. Well, if you would actually turn that camera around and film the audience instead, you would learn more watching the audience for 5 minutes than you will watching yourself for 2 hours. You'll learn the best parts of your presentation and the worst parts of your presentation. You'll learn the most engaging parts of your presentation and the most boring parts of your presentation. There'll be times when you see the audience lean in or take notes, and there'll be times when you see the audience lean back and you'll be like, oh good, they're getting comfortable. And I'm like, oh no, they've just disengaged from you. And you can learn all of that by just paying attention to the audience. So there's a ton of stuff that translates between the two.
That's really fascinating. I hadn't thought about it that way. Well, then let's just jump right into the main thing that I'm curious about, because we connected through a mutual friend and he's been a part of some of your programs and just said, you have to have this guy on your show. And he went to one of your training sessions, I think, on the signature system. So what is this signature system? What are the pieces to it?
We believe that a signature talk, which is what we call your presentation or the way that you deliver what you do and how you do it to new audiences of people. And again, this doesn't have to be a keynote presentation at a big conference. I believe you use your signature talk every single day. You use your signature talk on the telephone, you use your signature talk on a Facebook Live, you use your signature talk on an Uber ride to the Uber driver or on an airplane to the person sitting next to you. A company that understands the value of a signature talk understands that this is how you and everybody in your company should be communicating, because there's a way to communicate that connects and a way that doesn't. Most importantly, there's a way to communicate that causes people to want to do business with you after the presentation, and a way to communicate that doesn't do that. And most people don't know the difference. If you think when you have a chance to give a presentation, I'm here to entertain, or I'm here to get people to like me, or I'm here to get people to laugh or cry, you're doing it wrong. Your purpose of being in front of people, in front of a new audience, is to get people to want to do the next engagement with you. The next engagement could be becoming a customer. It could be joining your mailing list, could be buying something right there, or signing up for the next training. There's lots of next steps, but you have a singular goal: get the audience to take the next step. How do you make them do that? And so our signature talk framework is a 4-part framework that you can use in 3 minutes or 45 minutes. You can use it online or on stage. You can use it in a boardroom or a ballroom. You can use it one-to-one, or one person standing in front of 1,000 people. There's 4 parts to great communication.
What are those 4 parts?
Oh, I thought you'd never ask. I left you hanging there. So most people, when you ask them about their presentation, most people will start to tell you about their content. Like, tell me about your presentation. Oh, my presentation is about systems. And so they think that their content is their presentation. And that's actually not true. Your content is one small part of your presentation. It's not the most important part of your presentation. It is one of 4 parts. The first thing that you should always do when you're in front of a new audience is an opening heart story. And so the opening heart portion of your presentation, the purpose is not to teach new material. The purpose is not to convince them of anything. The purpose is to connect. It is to tell them about you. And so what we want there is a personal story that connects to the audience. The things that I share about your presentation and the things that we teach about putting together a great presentation are not our opinions. Everybody has an opinion about your speaking. If you just want an opinion, go ask your sister. What we share is what the research shows. Research of Robert Cialdini and Daniel Pink and Neil Strauss and Scott Adams and Stephen Martin. And what does the research show? The research shows that before you can lead someone, you have to pace them. This is from, like, Robert Cialdini would call it pacing and leading. Everybody wants to be a leader. Everybody wants to stand up in front of people and say, here's where you need to go. Here's what you need to do. But before you can actually lead people, you have to pace people. Pacing means to walk alongside them. Pacing means to throw your arm around them and say, I feel your pain. I understand your pain. I get it. I've walked in your shoes. Basically, in layman's terms, pacing is to complain with them. Complain about the problem with them, so that they know that you get it. I've heard it said you should spend less time trying to get the audience to understand you and more time making sure that the audience knows that you understand them. And a lot of people try to rush over this opening sequence, this what we call the heart sequence, because they think, I want to get to the good stuff. I want to get to the content. But the truth is, most people decide whether or not to become a customer during this opening heart sequence when they decide, do you understand my problems or not? Do you get it or not? And so we want to make sure that you have an opening story, an opening heart sequence that connects to the audience, uses the audience language, make sure that you have a story that connects to the audience's problem. And if you do that correctly, a lot of times you'll have sealed the deal before you even get out of the opening part of your presentation.
Wow. Okay. I'm going to go deeper on this one, because I think this is for me. One-on-one consulting here with an audience. So we have different personas that work with us. Some of them have big companies and they want to have a little micro percentage improvement based on systems. Some of them are small and they want to scale really fast. And some of them have been in business for 30 years and they've hit this plateau and they're sick and tired of their business and they needed to finally expand. And then other people come to us and they just want to sell their company. And would I have to come up with a different heart story for each one of these scenarios? Or do I find a heart story that connects with all of them in a more broader sense?
It's a great question. And in the end, the one thing that you need clarity on before you take the stage in front of any audience, and again, that stage could be a phone call, that stage could be a podcast, that stage could be a webinar. The one thing you need clarity on before you step onto any stage is, what is the problem that I'm solving today for this audience? Mm-hmm. And so if you say with those four audience that you mentioned, it's all the same problem. It's all the same problem. They don't have systems. Then you don't need four different stories. Tell a story about a time when you didn't have systems and then you got systems. If you say, no, these are four different problems. They need four different things. Then you probably want four different stories if the audiences are unique. So there's sometimes when I'm in front of people who have established $10 million businesses and I'll tell a story about growing a $10 million business using speaking. There's other times when we're in front of solopreneurs with smaller businesses, and I'll tell a story about growing my small business when I was a solopreneur. And there's times when I'm talking to people who haven't started a business yet. They're still trying to decide, is this a business? Could it be a business? And so I'll tell a story about that. But then sometimes you're in front of a mixed audience and you have to kind of pick the story that includes the most number of people in the audience. The story should be personal. The story should be simple. See, a lot of people are telling the wrong opening story. There's actually some people out there coaching people to tell the most painful moment of their life. Mine down into the most painful moment of your life and tell that in your opening story. And that's just, nothing could be further from the truth. The criers are not buyers. Your goal is not to convince people to cry or try to get people to cry. Your goal is to connect with them. The story that you should tell should be the one that is most like them. See, I coach somebody who climbed to the top of Mount Everest. And when he tells that story, how many other people in the room can relate to that? None, because nobody else has ever done it. I coach another person, and he tells a story in his opening sequence about arguing with his wife about whether the toilet paper should come out over the top of the roll or under the bottom of the roll. When he tells that story, how many people in the room can relate to it? Just about everybody in the room. What if we evaluated the opening and closing stories that we told in presentations, not based on how many people came up to us afterwards and said, wow, that was an amazing story. What if instead we evaluated the stories that we told, especially at the beginning of our presentation, based on how many people came up to us afterwards and said, that same thing happened to me. Because that's actually your best story. That's your million-dollar story. When audience members come up to you afterwards and say that same thing happened to me, they're going to become customers. It's just a matter of when. But that's how you connected with them. And so sometimes I think we think about our opening story wrong. We think we have to wow them. And what we actually have to do is show them something that they've already seen in their own lives to connect with them.
Great advice. Okay, next step, number two. So we got the heart sequence and we were connected with them and they're trusting us.
What they are. And that's followed by the second of the four parts. The second of the four parts is the content. That's when you actually teach the audience, help the audience. We call this the head section. And when you're teaching the audience, this is the part of your presentation that flexes based on how much time you have. And so if you have a 45-minute keynote presentation, a traditional keynote or a traditional webinar, this would be probably 30 minutes, right in the middle of your presentation. If you have a smaller time frame, like a TED talk or an interview that's 20 minutes, this might be 10 or 15 minutes, right in the middle of your presentation. And if you go on Facebook for 5 minutes, this might be 3 minutes in the middle of a Facebook Live. What you wanna do here is actually help the audience. There's two types of presentations that do not convert well into sales or customers. One type of presentation only describes the problem. If you spend the entire time you're in front of the audience describing the problem, we have a problem. The audience already knew they had a problem. They wanted you to help them and you didn't. The other type of presentation that doesn't convert well is a bait and switch, or what we call a teaser presentation. This presentation basically says there is a solution, and if you pay me, I'll tell you the solution. But I'm not gonna tell you if you don't pay me. I know that doesn't convert well, because what you need to do anytime you have an opportunity in front of an audience is help them, give them your best stuff. And people come to me and they say, well, Pat, if I give them my best stuff, why would they pay me to work with me later? And the answer, or my question back, I guess, is if you don't help them when you have a chance, why would they pay you to work with you later? I think if you take someone from A to B, they'll pay you to go from A to Z. But in the time that you're with them, if you don't take them from A to B, why would they believe that you could take them from A to Z? And so we really want you to give your best stuff. We want you to lay it all out there and give them real solutions. I know we had somebody at our two-day workshop where we sit down and write your signature talk with you come in last week to our workshop. And their presentation was loaded with great information, theory, I'd say, but no next steps that the audience could actually take that would change things in their business and in their lives. And all we had to do was add a few next steps, a few concrete steps, so that the audience walked away saying, wow, I solved a problem that I had in the 15 minutes I was with this person. I want more of that. But if you don't do that during the 15 minutes that you're with that person, there's nothing to want more of. And in that small change, we upped his conversion rate from about 10% to about 30% on the exact same presentation.
Hmm. Wow. Now, I'm going to push back on each one of these. So how do you know what's too much or too little? Because I've heard the phrase that, you know, someone comes to you with an itch, and if you scratch that itch, the itch has gone away, and now they're not interested in solving the problem because you kind of already solved it for them, or you've given them a Band-Aid solution. So how far is too far to go, and how, you know, in terms of helping them?
Yeah, here I think most people start in the wrong spot. Most people pick the topic they're going to talk about, and then their mindset is, I have to teach you everything I know about this. And that will leave the audience overwhelmed and scared. And trust me, audiences that are overwhelmed and scared do not buy. Here's how I think you should approach this. I think you should start with the time, okay? And so let's say I'm giving a 45-minute keynote, or I'm putting together a 45-minute webinar. I know that my content will be the middle 30 minutes of that. I have three topics I want to talk about. Well, I'm no math teacher. Wait, I actually am a math teacher. If you have 30 minutes and you have three topics to talk about, you get 10 minutes per topic. So when I think about my first topic, I shouldn't be thinking, I have to teach the audience everything I know about this. What I should be thinking is, I have 10 minutes. How can I help the audience the most in 10 minutes? What one or two things could I teach them that would make a measurable difference? I'm not going to solve all your problems in 10 minutes, but I have 10 minutes. How can I help you the most? How can I help you in a jaw-dropping way? What one change could you make that would move the needle the most? And so, you know, when I get 10 minutes in front of an audience, I usually talk about how to open your presentation. Changing how you start your presentation from content into an opening connecting story will move the needle. If I only had 10 minutes, that's what I would teach you, because it will move the needle. That's not everything I know about speaking. That's not even everything I know about the opening of your presentation. But in 10 minutes, that's how I can help you the most. I think the speakers who start with the time that I have and say, how can I help you with that much time? Those are the speakers that don't feel rushed. Those are the speakers that aren't like with 3 minutes left in their presentation, clicking through the last 35 slides in their PowerPoint deck quickly saying, don't worry about this, this wasn't important. I'm like, if those 35 slides weren't important, why were they in your PowerPoint deck to begin with? Those are the speakers who finish on time. And those are the speakers who convert the highest because they didn't overwhelm the audience. The person who teaches the most does not win the sale. It's the person who helps the most in the time that they have who actually gets the most customers out of any presentation.
Very good. I've got a ton of notes. This has been really good so far. What's number three on this list?
Third on the list after the content. And remember, the content is the part that's longer in a longer presentation, shorter in a shorter presentation. Mm-hmm. Third on the list is the call to action, or what we call the hands. So it starts with heart, goes to head, and then the hand. So this is the call to action. A great presentation leads the audience down to a single point of decision. A great presentation does not give options. You should never finish your presentation and then say, well, you could buy our gold program, you could buy our silver program, you could buy our lead program, or you could sign up for our free program. That's a terrible presentation. Because the audience will begin to wonder, what's the difference? What's in the gold program that's not in the silver program? Which one do you think is right for me? I don't know, I'm scared. And when the audience is confused and scared, they freeze and do nothing. A great presentation looks at the audience ahead of time and says, I know you, and I know the right next step for you. There is one correct next step for you. and this is what it is. Do you want this or not? The highest converting presentations lead the audience, it's like a sidewalk. Everything in the presentation is designed to lead you down to a single point of decision. That might be something for free. Do you want to sign up to be on this list or not? Do you want to download this free resource or not? Do you want to sign up for a free call, a free consultation, a free appointment or not? And it might be something that's paid. Do you want to buy this online course or not? Do you want to install a new furnace right now or not? Do you want to come and schedule your first appointment that is a paid appointment or not? But it is a single next step. This is the next step for you. All roads lead to that next step. That doesn't mean that your company only has one product. It means today, in this presentation, here's the next step. Now, if you say no to that, I can circle back tomorrow and sell you something cheaper, or I can circle back a week from now and sell you a completely different product. But today, the next step for you is this. I see people making this mistake all the time, like on Facebook Lives. They go on Facebook Lives and they get to the end of their Facebook Lives and they're like, connect with me. You can email me. You can call me. You can direct message me. You can hit me up on Instagram. You can stop by my house. I might be down at the restaurant later. If you give them six options to do, they will do nothing. Choose how you want them to contact you and tell them that. One option. And you will get more people to do that one option than if you give them six. When you give them six, they get confused, they get scared, and they freeze. Happens every time.
I think I'm guilty of this sometimes. Well, this is good, Pat. So what about, I'm doing a presentation next week.
Awesome. All of
you watching this live. And my goal for the end is to get people one option, but two pricing schemes. There's a kind of a lump sum or a multi-payment, but one option. Is that confusing? Is that inappropriate, or is that still appropriate?
You know, we, as long as there's one next step and it's for this audience, it is one next step. You're having them sign up for something. Mm-hmm. I would think you want to have them make the decision that this is right for them. And done correctly, they'll make that decision before you get to the offer because your content was organized correctly. And they're like, wow, I have to work with Josh. And you've given some examples of how people can work with you. One type of example of how people can work with you. And you've got that in place. The pricing thing, you can have pricing options. I mean, people give options all the time. You can pay with credit card. You can multi-pay or you can single pay. But the first thing you have to do is decide, is this the next step for you? Are you, say yes or no to this. And when you say yes, then you can get into which of the payment options. So I would call that a single point of decision. Do you want to take this next step with me or not?
Good. Okay. You made it easier on me. Okay. Perfect. So then what's the last step after number three, then
the last step is back to heart. It's an emotional close, the emotional closing story. A lot of people make the mistake of ending their presentation with their tactical call to action. We actually believe in a double close. We believe you should have a tactical call to action, which I just described. We call that the hands, but you shouldn't stop there. You should finish with an emotional closing heart. So you have a tactical close followed by an emotional close. Why two closes? Because there are two types of decision makers in every audience. There are tactical decision makers and emotional decision makers. And by the way, I can tell by watching any speaker whether they are a tactical decision maker or an emotional decision maker, because most people sell the same way that they make decisions. When I'm watching a tactical decision maker, when they get to selling me something, they're all tactics. They're like, it's an online course. It has 8 modules. Each module has 3 videos. Each video is 17 minutes long. The videos are released Monday afternoons at 4 p.m. That's Eastern time, 3 o'clock in the Central time zone, 2 o'clock in the mountains, 1 o'clock in the Pacific. It's all tactics, tactic. And the emotional people in the audience are left high and dry. I can also tell when an emotional decision maker is selling me something, because they will just stand up and say, it'll feel good. And I'm like, what is it? Like, it doesn't matter. You won't believe how you will feel when you buy it. And I'm like, I don't even know what it is. And they're like, it doesn't matter. Now, the person who sells the most is actually the person who can do both. Because if you're only doing one of these two, the one that you naturally do, you're leaving 50% of your customers behind. You're leaving 50% of your revenue behind, and you're not having the impact that you could be having on this world. But if you can get good at both of these, and by the way, if you sell anything to couples, if you sell to couples, or if you're at a price point where someone would need the permission or approval of their spouse to buy it, You should know that most married couples are one tactical decision maker married to one emotional decision maker. You have to close them both. And so you want to get good at both of these. And so the fourth thing that you have to do, what you should finish with, is an emotional closing story. Oftentimes this is a closing heart story. Sometimes it's just a bit of inspiration, depending upon how much time you have. If you're on a 5-minute Facebook Live, this might just be an inspiring sentence or two. If it's in a full keynote or webinar presentation, that longer format, you'll probably tell another story at the end. Again, a personal story that reminds them of your why, reminds them that you've walked in their shoes, reminds them why they fell in love with you in the first place, so that the emotional people in the room can be as ready to make the decision as the tactical people in the room who are already there. And so when you put the four parts together, you start with the heart, you go to the head, which is your content, then the hands and the heart again at the end. Those four parts work together so beautifully to get people to take action, not to say maybe, but to say yes. Not to say yes later, but to say yes now. Those are the four key components, and you should use them every day on phone calls with prospects, on social media, on in your newsletter, in any webinar, in any podcast, anything that you do, you should follow that four-step process.
Simple. I like it. And it can be used, like you said, in all these different arenas. Now, with our limited time, because we really blew through the time quickly here, because you had a lot of great things to share, I like to ask all my guests about a system they put in place in their personal life, in their business life, with a client, or a checklist or a procedure, some kind of system that really was meaningful. Do you have any kind of system you want to share with our Work the System audience?
I have a system that I use in my personal life and my work life that I will share, and that is to make sure that you are collecting your stories. When I'm working with people on their presentations at our workshops, I'm always like, well, is there a time when this has happened? Is there a time when this was happened? And I get these blank stares, like, I don't have the stories you have, and that's simply not true. What's different is I have a system to collect my stories and you don't, because funny things happen to all of us. Little things that are lessons in life happen to all of us. Some of us have a system to consciously write those stories down so that when we're putting together a presentation a month later, a year later, or 2 decades later, we remember those anecdotal stories that will teach exactly what we're trying to teach. And so my recommendation for everybody is to have a system. Some people use the post-it note system, cocktail napkin system, which is wherever I am when the story happens, I jot it down and I keep those in my top dresser drawer. Some people use a story journal, and I used a story journal for a long time, which is like a 3-ring binder or a pre-made journal where I can, I journal in the morning. And I'm conscious to write down the stories that I have in a separate journal just for the stories of things that have happened to me. Since that time, I've transitioned to an online tool, and I've heard enough stories about people who've left their journals on airplanes or have lost their journals in a flood to recognize that storing these stories, which are really one of the most valuable assets you have, are the stories of your life. To store them in the cloud is a good idea. And so I use a tool called StoryLink, StoryLink, StoryLink.com, which is a tool that I created specifically for this purpose. StoryLink.com allows you a place in the cloud where you can record your opening stories, record your stories that teach content, like a lesson that teaches one of the things that you often teach, record your closing stories. And then anytime you need to put a presentation together, you have a pull-down menu, and you can pull from the pull-down menu which story you want to tell, and it prints out the whole presentation. And so whether you do it on post-it notes, whether you do it in a journal, or whether you use an online tool like StoryLink.com, you need a way to collect your stories, and you should set aside time each day or each week to record the things that happened that you can use to teach other things. And working with a speaker or a business owner who has that is a whole different ball game than working with somebody who's giving me the blank stare, like, I don't remember a time when I created a change in my life, or I don't remember a time in my life when I tried something and failed. I'm like, you have tried thousands of things and have failed. You just didn't record them. So the system that I recommend for everybody is figure out a way to record these stories, because it'll make every presentation, every communication, every phone call better when you have this set of stories to reach into, this full bank of stories to reach into.
I think that's a great system, great advice. So I'm definitely checking that out after today's session. The question I like to finish out all interviews is this question right here, which is, what question did I not ask you that I should have? You know, where did I not explore that I should have explored? So you can kind of fill in the gap for us here.
I think probably the question that you could have asked was, like, what's the biggest mistake that speakers make or that business owners make when they're speaking about their business? And if you would have asked that question, I had a great answer, but you didn't. But I'm going to give you the great answer anyway. The great answer is, there's a lot of them, but I think two things I would say. First, and one causes the other one. First is, they don't go into the presentation with total clarity on the problem that they are solving for their audience that day. This causes so many problems. When you don't know what problem you're solving today, you're going to be nervous. People tell me, I'm nervous when I speak. And I'm like, well, the reason you're nervous when you speak is because you think you have to be the smartest person in the room. And you think you have to solve all their problems. And there isn't anybody who's the smartest person in the room and can solve all their problems. If I thought I had to be the smartest person in, you know, who's listening to this today, I'm not even close. There's thousands of people who are going to listen to this who are smarter than me, but that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to solve all your problems, and I'm not here to be the smartest person who listens to this. I'm here to solve one problem: helping business owners create presentations that attract customers and grow their businesses. And I'm very good at it. And I've helped thousands of people just like you do exactly that. So I'm not nervous about talking about this, because I'm not here to solve all your problems, and I don't have to be smarter than you. I only have to solve this one problem, and I'm pretty good at it, and I've done it a lot for people who look just like you. And so I think when you have clarity on that, the first thing that happens is the nerves go away. The second thing that happens is I don't overteach, because the second mistake that speakers make is they just teach too much. They try to cram too much. I only have 30 minutes. I'm going to try to teach you everything. And even though you don't start out with that in mind, there's scope creep in every presentation, because I have stories I want to tell and things that happen to me and things I want to teach. If you have total clarity on the problem that you are here to solve today for this audience, you will limit your stories to stories that relate to that problem and to help you solve that problem. You'll limit your teaching to things that will help you solve that problem, and you'll teach the right amount for the amount of time that you have. A simpler presentation is a better presentation, because it leaves the audience feeling secure and confident, not confused and scared. And a secure and confident audience member is a buyer. A confused and scared audience member is a freezer. They will freeze and not buy anything. And if anybody out there has been hearing, especially in the last 4 months, has been hearing, I love what you're saying, I can't do this right now, I'm going to do it, but I can't, not right now. There's the right time to do this, but it's not right now. It's probably because you either didn't have clarity on the problem you were solving, or you overtaught, which left the audience confused and scared. So they said, I like you, but I'm too confused and scared to buy it. They don't know those words. They say, I'm going to do this. I'm just not going to do this right now. Now's not the time. And what they're saying, what they're not saying, what you should know is, you overtaught.
I suppose this would happen with the sales. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking of all the applications.
It happens every day on one-on-one phone calls. It happens on presentations. It happens on webinars. It happens all the time.
Happened to me yesterday.
Now you know.
Well, Pat, you should have talked to me sooner. Well, Pat, where can people find out more about you and more about how to get your help?
Yeah, people can reach out to me with any questions that they have at pat@advanceyourreach.com. And if you go to the website, advanceyourreach.com, you can learn about our 2-day signature talk execution workshops, where we help people. I sit down with you, and over the course of 2 days, we write the perfect signature talk for your business. That will be every time you give it, whether it's on the phone, online, or on stage, it attracts new customers, increases your revenue, and grows your business. That's at advanceyourreach.com. And if you have any questions, you can reach me at pat@advanceyourreach.com.
All right, Pat. Well, this has been really helpful to me. I hope it's been helpful to all of our audience of small business owners around the world. Really great information. So make sure to check out Pat's page and get some help from him. He's a true pro at this. And for those of you who are curious about the book, Work the System, the one right behind me, you can get it for free at workthesystem.com. And if you want a free copy mailed to you, you can win a copy if you leave us a review. So leave us a review and send us a screenshot of that review to info@workthesystem.com. And we mail out one book a week based on who wins. Otherwise, everybody, we'll see you all next week. I try to do these recordings every Friday live on our Facebook page. Or if you're watching the recording, we will be posting this once a week. Again, Pat, thanks again, and we'll see you soon.